Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, about 8 years ago, I received news through the grapevine that my oldest daughter, Anna, had met the one. She was living in Boston and at the time and was planning to transfer to New York to be near this guy. So I decided that I should go out and help with the move and meet this guy. Before our dinner near Rockefeller Center, Ann and I decided to meet ahead of time at a favorite statue of mine in front of Rockefeller Center. Many of you may know it. It's the enormous Atlas statue right on Fifth Avenue. And Atlas, that well-muscled figure, is bent and heavy-laden, carrying the whole weight of the world on his back. And I would venture to guess that many of the folks who pass by this statue personally recognize Atlas's dilemma. Whether we're balancing responsibilities, working to succeed at a task, or at work, or struggling against difficulties, like Atlas, we've all felt bowed down by the weight of the realization that it seems to all depend on us. Well, it seems like poor Moses in our scripture lesson today must have felt a lot like that too, trying to lead an unruly, stubborn, and undisciplined mob of people across a dry and dusty desert. He must have felt as if he had the whole weight of the world on his back. Just before the Exodus reading that Pastor Dixon read for us, Moses, in total frustration, turns to God and says, "Look, you told me to bring along these people, but you haven't let me know who's supposed to help me with this, even though you've told me that I have found favor with you." And God responds to Moses' frustration by telling Moses that God will do what he asks. Well, and perhaps this positive reaction spurs Moses to push his favor with God and ask for something else, as if it's an everyday request. "God," he says, "show me your glory." "You want me to do what?" God says. "I want you to show me your face. Show me exactly what you look like." Well, instead of becoming angry, God reminds Moses, "You cannot see my face and live through it. But since I am in an agreeable mood, I will do this one thing for you as a compromise. I'm going to tuck you into a cleft in the rock, and then I'm going to cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then when I take away my hand, you won't get the full brunt of the glory of my face, but you get to see my back. This will give you a glimpse, a peek, just a whiff of myself." Now, I have to be honest with you. I've struggled over the years with various interpretations of this little encounter between Moses and God. What on earth could this mean, being granted a glimpse of the backside of God? Well, a few years ago, I had a theological conversation with a couple local rabbi, and they showed me a commentary on this text that I found compelling. He claims that we are not to understand God passing by in this story spatially, that is, referring to the actual front and back surfaces of God. No, we are to understand God's passing by Moses temporally. In other words, God was telling Moses something about how time reveals God's presence. We can only see God's presence, God's work among us and in us, in hindsight. So let me put it another way. We can never quite see God in the windshield, but we can often see God and God's work in the rearview mirror. Well, I think this Exodus text invites us to take a reflective backwards look at our own lives. And don't we do it this time of year anyways, as we reflect on Christmas's past? As I look back on the events, and the circumstances and the people in my own life, I can now see how it was all influential in forming me and shaping me into who I am today. And even in the hardships, I can see that God's sustaining presence was with me all along. I see God threaded everywhere, protecting me, guiding me, and perhaps covering me with an outstretched hand so that I would not see more than I could bear to see. I see that now. Well, after my daughter Anna and I met at the statue of Atlas, we went across the street to one of my favorite places in New York, St. Patrick's Cathedral. As Atlas is struggling with the weight of the whole world, directly across the street in a small side chapel is a statue that perhaps challenges viewing life as an endurance test. It's a statue of the boy Jesus sitting on his mother Mary's lap. He has one outstretched hand, and on it rests the whole world. This is the Word of God embodied in human form. As the Gospel of John tells us, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Now, we Christians can hear this line as something kind of ordinary. We generally respond with nonchalance to the miracle of the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh. We should, in fact, be blown out of our chairs. We should be shocked, amazed, dumbfounded. The Word of God made flesh, the Word through whom God created all things, has become a human being. Unbelievable. It's incredible. Jesus Christ is both fully human and fully divine. Pastor David Lowe said a couple weeks ago, if Jesus is not human, how do we know God accepts us as we are? And if Jesus is not fully God, how can we trust his promises? Notice what else John says about the Word made flesh. He shines with the very glory of God. He offers grace upon grace and brings grace and truth. The Word, who is the only Son of God, who is even identified as God, he alone has seen God and revealed God to us. And because the Word of God incarnate reveals God and offers grace and truth, through him, we have the opportunity to know the unseen God and to become God's children. Grace refers to the goodness of God. The grace of Jesus Christ is limitless. And from the fullness of that grace, he just keeps on piling one blessing after another. It's not a matter of good works. God gives us blessings out of God's grace, God's goodness. The grace of God is the assurance that our needs will be met. As we celebrate Holy Communion this morning, Christ is somehow present to us when we share this meal. God says to us, I love you. You are forgiven. You are my people. There's no requirement to receive this gift other than to acknowledge that we're broken and sinful people in need of God's grace and to believe the promise of God's presence. We who share this meal are then made one community in Christ, are strengthened by the gift of God's grace, and are sent out in that strength to love and serve other people. So come believing in the promise, I am here. I am present with you right now, really, truly present. It can make all the difference in your life. Amen. Oh, and one more thing. The guy that I met for the first time in New York that 8 years ago, he was the one. And he is one of my two great sons-in-law and the father of my 3-month-old granddaughter, Emma. Thanks be to God.